Hi, good morning, church. It's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning as we begin the new year. And as we all rise, church, shall we all rise now? As we all rise, would you turn to five other people and to just bless one another in the name of the Lord? Hallelujah. It's good together as families. Families in the Lord this morning. Hallelujah. And it is good to be early. It is good to be on time this morning, because this morning the service will not be like usual. Alright, today's service will be a little bit different. Right after a short worship, we will invite a senior pastor, alright, to give the message for today on the praise empowered church. Okay, so the service is a little bit different this morning, so it's good to be early and be on time. So are you ready, church, to give praise to our God? Hallelujah, let's welcome Him and let praise arise this morning like never before as we enthrone Jesus. Hallelujah.
Worthy of all our praises. Oh. Oh, give ourselves to you. We present ourselves to you as your people, as your sons and daughters, and we ask that you will lift us up to another milestone to be a praise-empowered church. We ask this morning that you will open the eyes of our hearts and would you speak to us personally regarding our devotion to you. We ask that you will clarify and unpack what it means to dwell in your presence, what it means to come into the Holy of Holies, what it means to worship you, to give you thanks and to give you praise. Lord, would you give us increasing clarity even by the power of your Holy Spirit. Lead us and help us as we commit ourselves to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Before you sit down, when you turn around, welcome each other, wish each other a blessed new year. Okay, you're wondering why I'm up here. Every 15 or 18 months or so, we do an alignment. Okay, where I walk you through what it means to come into the presence of God, what it means to be a true worshiper. The last time we did this about 14, 15 months ago, where we dealt with unbroken praise, if you recall. Alright, that was in November or October 2014. And today, I thought at the start of 2017, it is good. I was just thinking through the last few months in traveling to Kenya and Zimbabwe. And the themes the Lord has been laying upon my heart. And what I've been preaching and teaching there about the empowered church. Those of you who were here at our WNI 2 nights ago, we dwell on the theme of the empowered church. And then this verse, Psalms 149, verse 6 came to my mind. May the high praises of God be upon our lips. Which is what we're going to focus on today. And the double-edged sword in our hands. What we're going to focus next weekend. How to wield the sword of the Spirit. We cannot remain as we were in 2016 and before that. This year the Lord expects more. And as a church we need to align. We need to grow up. We need to level up. New season, new consecration. Big picture, what is this church all about? This church is a disciple-making church. And you define what is a disciple? A disciple is an effective priest and king. And today we are focusing on this aspect. What does it mean to be an effective priest? A priest comes into the presence of God. A priest knows God. And then a priest represents God to the people. And unless we become that priest and understand our roles as priests, we are a royal priesthood. It cannot be business as usual. What was permissible in 2016 may not be permissible in 2017. And this is what we're going to do today, to talk about the praise-empowered church. All right. So against this backdrop, alright, we're looking at Psalms 149 verse 6. It says, let the high praises of God be upon our lips and a double-edged sword in our hands. Psalms 149. High praises. The high praises of God be upon our lips and a double-edged sword in our hands. And this word high praises is this word halal, which is this word used in Psalms 149 to 150, which is to celebrate extravagantly. And the root of this word, in which we get the English word hallelujah, alright, which means halal, we say praise, alright, we say praise the Lord, halal. Praise to who? Praise to Yah. And Yah is the name of God, Yahweh. If you recall in scriptures, God first revealed His name as El Shaddai in Genesis 17. When God cut the covenant with Abraham in Genesis 17, He says, I am God Almighty. The English word translation is God Almighty, and the Hebrew is El Shaddai. And to fast forward, Israel was disobedient. They were in captivity under the Egyptians. They were in slavery. And every day they'll be crying out to God, calling upon the name of the Lord. Lord, have mercy upon us. Lord, save us. All right. And if you read Exodus chapter 3, God says, I've heard their cries, I've seen their misery, I've seen their bondage. I know that they are under oppression by the Egyptians. And God commissioned Moses at the burning bush, go to Pharaoh, get my people out. And what did God say? Now, my name is I Am Who I Am. Alright, that's the English translation. But God is revealing to Moses His name. He said, this name has not been revealed before. And this name is Yahweh. And because this name is so holy, the Hebrews, the Israelites, they do not even put the vowels in. In English, we spell it as Y-A-H-W-E-H. To have the pronunciation. But amongst the Hebrews, it's Y-W-H-W. They take out the A and the E. Hallelujah. Hallel is to give praise unto Yahweh. Yahweh God. And that's what this means. It's to celebrate extravagantly. It's to have jubilation and celebration. High praises. As distinguished with ordinary praise. From time to time, the Lord gives me a certain significant experience. And yesterday morning, unexpected, unsolicited, I had about 15, 20 minutes of that. I was saying, "That's wow, what a way to start the year." I was excited about reading earlier on, before that, what is happening on our campuses. In NUS, Yale, in NTU, in SMU. About this group of students who are now gathered to worship the Lord in unison. And it is the same thread at the three universities. Whereas before that, we were going through all this thing about the LGBT activism and so forth. We say, where are the believers? Where is the fire in the students? I was serving the Lord in the Scripture Union, in the IVCF. We had those fire in those days. And then we talk about the ACS revival, the Clock Tower revival and so forth. Where is the fire? And now we are seeing it after so many years of prayer. And hopefully this is something that is sustainable that we'll build on. This afternoon I leave for Malacca for the Pastor's Summit. And the theme for the summit this year is revival. Lord, revive us again. Lord, we are not content with the normal. Lord, we're not content with just the tokens and the crumbs. We want more. And the songs we've been singing, we want more. More. There is more. And therefore, I want to position BBTC. Position us as we start off 2017. To position ourselves as a praise and power church. We will say that we have taken on the responsibility to pray for Singapore. To stand in the gap for Singapore. And you read the news of the world, from the economies to your fund managers and so forth. This is not supposed to be a good year. But we know that God's economy is not the economy of the world. God makes a distinction between people who know Him and people who do not know Him. And it begins with that devotion to God. It begins with being high praises. So how to be a high praise church? How to be a praise empowered church? Alright, we're going to recap a few things that we have learned so that we are all on the same page. Number one, we must decide to bring our praises to God at all times. We must be intentional. We must be deliberate. I thought I came a bit earlier today. I was reaching the multi-story car park at the top level before 8:20, and boom, there were 6-7 cars in front of me. And I was just quickly counting 6-7 cars in front of me, and I was just looking about eight or nine lots. I was saying, the car behind me, and probably two cars behind me will be the last. We are coming earlier. And in a sense, I'm very glad. We need to be intentional to come to the house of the Lord. Two nights ago at the WNI, I was very glad to see two couples I've not seen for a long while. And in a sense, without exchanging words, without conversation, I know that in these two couples, they have resolved, come 2017. We will come and pray together as a couple with the larger church. There's no such thing as private devotion in and of itself and ends there. No, our private devotion must be manifested in our public devotion. 1 John 4:20. How can we say love God when we don't love our brothers? Because our public devotion encourages each other, stirs each other, we provoke each other to good works. By our presence, by our participation, and it is shared experiences. Let's read Psalms 34, verse 1. 1, 2, read. This is what the psalmist says. At all times, 24/7, 365. How is that possible? You go to sleep in the middle of the night, you need to go to the toilet to wee, alright? You go and you come back, Lord, help me to sleep again. Lord, would you temper, rearrange my sleep cycle? I give you thanks, I give you praise. And after within 30 seconds, you're in slumberland. At all times, that's what it means to be continually. When you are consciously awake, and subconsciously awake, you are connecting with God. It is about the connect with God. It is about this relationship with God. God is looking for all of us, His sons and daughters, to connect with Him. To have to build this relationship with Him. From one level to another. From one milestone to another. Psalms 138 verse 1 and 2. 1, 2, read. He says, I will. And I want to mention this phrase. I will praise you with my whole heart before the gods. Demonic spirits and angelic spirits, because they are spirit beings, they do not occupy physical space. I want us to know that how come sometimes in the midst of your praise and worship, as you were worshiping God, giving thanks, a dirty thought comes to your mind. You see, there are demon spirits all around all the time. We're not concerned with that. As we continue to bring high praises, the demonic spirits will can't stand it. Then they will run away. But in the initial, they will hang around. If you have been flirting with pornography in the past week, as you worship the Lord, as you give thanks and praise, that dirty thought will come to your mind. I want to suggest to you that dirty thought is not your thought in the first instance. It is the bird flying above your head. It's a bird flying above your head. At that point, you decide whether the bird lands on your head, builds a nest and shit on you. You have to decide. Which is what we're going to talk about next week. If you submit to God, resist the devil, you say, you dirty thought, get out of my life. Lord, cleanse my mind, cleanse my eyes, cleanse my heart as I worship you. That means you refocus, you will not be distracted with that dirty thought. Or in the midst of your worship, you're thinking of the deal that you're going to do and close this week. A property deal, or selling vitamins, or selling insurance. Or you're thinking of your studies and your assignment. Or a project you need to hand in because the deadline is this coming Thursday. Alright? All kinds of thoughts distracting. Our minds are the gateway to our soul. That's why the Bible says, take captive every thought, every idea, every suggestion, every proposition in obedience to Christ. Don't let your mind be double-minded. Don't let your mind be scattered. Take control of your thoughts. And deal with the birds above their head that are dropping and depositing thoughts. You are here, you are worshiping God. The sanctuary, this is church. This is a worship service. It's supposed to be holy. I posed this question to 8 pastors in one of the mentoring sessions sometime last year. And I ask every single one of them, alright, in the midst of worship, it's supposed to be holy, holy, in the church, alright, this is holy ground. In the midst of worship, in the midst of prayer, do you from time to time have deposits of thoughts and ideas that are totally unclean and unholy? Every single one of them say yes. And this is something we need to know, understand and deal with. That's why the psalmist says, I praise you with all my whole heart before the gods. I will sing praises to you. That means what we do, we deal with the distracting thought, take it captive, and keep on pressing in. Because when we press in, is the deep, the small d, the deep in us, connecting with the capital D, the deep in God. It is the small s, the spirit in us, connecting with the spirit of the living God. Before the gods, I will sing your praise. I will worship toward your direction, toward your holy temple. You have to be intentional. From time to time, because of children, because of whatever, alright, we miss it here and there. But generally, as a whole, we must be intentional and deliberate. I will worship toward your holy temple and praise your name for your loving kindness and your truth. Because you have magnified your word above your name. God sticks His name for every one of His promise, for every one of His covenant. Which is why the more we know His promises, the more we know His covenant, and the more we hold God to His word, so to speak, reverently, we will walk victoriously. That means we take seriously every promise and every word of God. Praise brings us into the courts of God. The courts of God is where God sits and rules as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The courts of God is where He is the Ancient of Days. He determines times and seasons. And Psalms 22 verse 3 says He inhabits our praises. That means He welcomes our praises and He receives them as He sits enthroned. He is our Father God. We enter His courts with praise. And we know that praise is preceded by thanksgiving. That firstly, before you can praise Him, we enter His gates with thanksgiving. It's like your gates is, by analogy, that door, alright, where the ushers are, that's the gate. You enter the gates with thanksgiving, and then in the courts, right now in the courts, let's say the Lord sits here, into His courts with praise. You begin with thanksgiving. Be thankful and bless His name. Now, what is thanksgiving? Now, this seems to be a silly question, but I want to elaborate on this. We thank God for what He has done. Past. We thank God for what He has given to us. Given. Past. You see, many of us are stuck. Instead of focusing on what He has done, we are offended at God for what He has not done or not yet done. I know of leaders, pastors, elders who get stuck, and some even left the church, some even left the faith, because God did not answer the prayer about this job. God did not seemingly answer the prayer about this posting, whether it's for national service, or God did not answer the prayer about a relationship that failed. And they get offended with God. And when you're offended with God, you're on the wrong trail. Thanksgiving is what? Thanksgiving is to thank God for what He has done. So I want to suggest, as in Revelation 2:4, remember from where you have fallen. Recall the last time God answered your prayer, where it's been meaningful and significant to you. From the last time can be 3 months ago, 3 weeks ago, or 3 hours ago. Let's say it is 3 months ago. From 3 months ago until today, you have an outstanding prayer item. And God has yet to answer. I want to suggest to you, 3 months ago, and this outstanding prayer item is your trial of faith. Hopefully it's 3 minutes ago, thankfully it's 3 seconds ago. But for some people, it's 3 years ago, 30 years ago. And if we focus on what God has not answered, unanswered prayer, we get offended with God. Alright, thank Him for the last thing He did and praise Him for what is to come. You see, these are the principles and the laws and the manner in which God wants us to relate to Him. We enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Because unbelief, because God did not answer my prayer, and offense, they are obstacles to the miraculous. And God is no respecter of persons. I preach many a times, in the sovereignty of God, there are many things. Amongst many things, we need to know God has given us a choice, a free will. And God has placed principles and laws in our lives. When we flow with what God has said, God wants obedience. When we flow with what God has said, we reap positive outcomes and we are blessed. And when we fail, and when we get offended, and when we get angry, and when we get stumbled, alright, hindrances, walls are erected and we miss the full blessing. And instead of getting the full stream and torrents of living water, we just get the trickle, and in some cases we don't even get the trickle. And we miss it. And we misunderstand God. And we misunderstand God, we get offended with God, we're angry with God, and we get stuck in that state. I don't know about you, I know of believers who are stuck. Not for weeks or months, but for years. For years. I'm just trying to recall the newspaper cutting about this Japanese man who did not speak to his wife for don't know how many years because the wife paid more attention to the children. Right? There was a newspaper, right? Something like that. And after don't know how many years, now he begins to speak to his wife. Why? Because of an offense, because of a disappointment. And the same thing between us and God. So I'd like us now to spend 2 minutes, if we can, to bring our thanksgiving to the Lord. On this first Sunday, in the house of the Lord. Why don't you just close your eyes? The first few things that comes to your mind, let's give thanks. Do that deliberately, intentionally. 2 minutes. Okay, I guess I've got to interrupt you there. All right, obviously 2 minutes is too short. The navigators have a term called protracted time. Protracted time, it means to set aside time. And for some of us, it's not 2 minutes. We need to set aside 20 minutes. For some of us, 2 hours. From time to time, we need to do that. Set aside, not just your usual quiet time, but a protracted time. Take a book, go and sit by the beach under a coconut tree, you know, or on the MRT train, take from Changi all the way to Jurong, all right, for the 1 hour ride, and just spend time. A protracted time just to recall. Alright, later on as I go along the message, this is very important. The spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus to recall and to give thanks. Alright, now praise is preceded by confidence to come into the presence of God. Our confidence is based on two pins, two passports. Hebrews 10:19-22. Therefore, brethren, having boldness, another word for boldness is confidence, to enter the holiest. The holiest is the presence of God. The holiest is the holy of holies. How? By the blood of Jesus. See, many a time you quarrel with somebody, you sin, you flirted pornography, you are hurt, alright? 1 John 1:9, by the blood of Jesus. You're guaranteed forgiveness because the price has been paid. 1 John 1:9. You're guaranteed forgiveness because the blood has been shed. Regardless of how much of the Bible you've read, how long you've prayed, you're guaranteed forgiveness so long as you repent and confess and come humbly before God. Then we have confidence, okay? The whole idea here is we want to, as BBTians, as disciples, all of us must pursue a guilt-free, no condemnation relationship with God. I was in this tour to Israel mid-December with a whole group of fellas, and there was this man, business guy, he travels to and fro China, alright, from another church, and then he's under a lot of guilt. I don't read enough of the Bible, I don't love my wife enough, I don't attend church enough, alright, because he's wheeling, dealing, busy, okay? I say, hey, come on, because he was on the performance treadmill, thinking that he doesn't, he has to do things to please God, things to earn the mercy and the grace of God. Basics, which you've learned here, you can't. Our whole Christian life is based on the mercy and the grace of God. And bringing back to basics, that Christ is our sufficiency. That we have the righteousness of God. That there is now no condemnation for all who are in Christ. So he doesn't have the bonus, he doesn't have the confidence. He's under guilt. Alright? And how? Verse 20 tells us this is a new and living way. When Jesus died on the cross, he says it is finished. The veil in the temple separating the holy place from the holy of holies is torn, was torn from top to bottom. Verse 21. And the second passport is having a high priest, Jesus Christ, the apostle and high priest of our confession. Which is why when we pray, we always pray in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Not Jesus, some friend from Brazil. All right, a lot of people in Brazil are called Jesus. But in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Son of Man. Verse 22, therefore, having the blood and Jesus, we draw near with our hearts, with full assurance of faith. Why? Our hearts have been sprinkled from an evil conscience or a guilty conscience. Why? Because the devil 24/7, 365 will accuse. Before Calvary, the devil has access to the presence of God to accuse the saints. We know this in the case of Job and Joshua, the high priest, in the book of Zechariah chapter 3. But after Calvary, now the devil accuses you and me directly. But of course, hallelujah, after Calvary, we have the indwelling Holy Spirit. We submit to God, we resist the devil. In the name of Jesus, you accusing, condemning spirit out of my life. You got no hold over me. You have no hold over me. I'm a child of God. I'm a daughter of God. I'm covered by the blood of the Lamb. So our heart sprinkled from an evil conscience, and our bodies, our lives washed with pure water. What is pure water? The Word of God. That's why resolve every weekend, every Sunday, Saturday, come for service, hear the Word of God. And pray that the Word from this pulpit will always be an anointed Word that will boost your faith. That will draw you closer to God. Join your cell groups. Alright, it comes from your cell group meetings where the Word of God is shared and discussed, and where there are testimonies. All right? And so a quick summary steps to come into the presence of God we've gone through before. Number one, we must be intentional, decide. Number two, pursue a guilt-free, no condemnation relationship with God. Confidence. Number three, we enter His gates with thanksgiving. Number four, we praise. And number five, we worship in surrender. And the rest of the message, I'm going to focus about praise. Right? Okay, this is nothing new. Okay, it's just a quick recap. Now, praise enables us to declare and proclaim who God is. Hebrews 13:15 defines praise. It says that the praise, the sacrifice of praise, is the fruit of our lips, the outcomes of our vocal cords. What we say, proclaim, declare, all right, all the time. Giving thanks to His name or confessing His name. What is in the name of God? His attributes, His nature. And therefore, in praise, it is very important that we enlarge our praise vocabulary by knowing God and His ways. We enlarge our praise vocabulary to sing beyond the lyrics of the songs. If we only sing the lyrics of the song, we hit a ceiling. God loves that, but He wants more. He wants us to be able to praise Him. We sing, praise unbroken, alright? And Lord, we give You praise, for You are great and greatly to be praised. We praise You for, oh Lord, You are always merciful, You are always gracious, You are always slow to anger. Not my, like my colleague in the office, Lord, You are slow to anger. You are always faithful to Your word. Lord, You are always forgiving when we come in repentance and confession. You will forgive, because that's what You said in Your word. We praise You, Lord, for You are the one who determines times and seasons. You are the eternal, everlasting God. Praise Him. Alright? So, what does this mean? It means as we sing, we pray. As we sing, we praise. As we sing, we declare and tell God who He is. His nature, His attributes, His names. And we have learned this. In Psalms 23, the seven redemptive names of God. A quick recap. The Lord is my shepherd. He's my Jehovah Rohi. I don't know that it has occurred to you. From time to time, I'll pray, Lord, I thank You that You are my shepherd. Because nobody has ever died for me. Lord, You died for me. Think about that. Who has died for you? For some people, maybe some hero saved you from an accident. Yeah, you may have somebody else on earth who may have died. Alright, in the process of saving you from an accident or whatever. Alright? But nobody has ever died for me. Only the Lord Jesus Christ. You are my Jehovah Rohi. He loved me and gave His life for me. You are my Jehovah Shalom. He leads me beside still waters. He is my peace. Whenever we are troubled, we pray until we experience the peace of God that guards our hearts and minds. He is my Jehovah Sitkinu, the Lord my righteousness. He leads me in paths of righteousness. You know, in life there are many paths to take. But we want to take only the paths the Lord lays before us. Paths of righteousness. Because all the other paths are wrong. Right or wrong. We want to walk the right paths. So Lord, would You instruct me, teach me, and guide me in the way I should go. Lead me in paths of righteousness. What is righteousness? As we have learned, it is number one, right standing with God. We all have right standing with God. Simultaneously, right believing. And simultaneously, right living or right actions. Right standing, right believing, right actions. He's my Jehovah Jireh. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He supplies all our needs. Which is why we come confidently to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace for our needs. He's my Jehovah Rapha. He's the Lord who heals. He restores my soul in Psalms 23. Some of us had a bit too much to eat, or we've been traveling a fair bit in the last 1-2 months, alright? We all the change weather, the hot to the cold, the dry to the wet, alright? And our bodies succumb to the weather. He is the one who restores our soul. My voice was down to a whisper in early December, alright? And thank God it's come back 99%, okay? One or two frequencies is a bit out. He's the Lord who heals, okay? He's my Jehovah Shammah. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. You travel to China for business, you go to Africa, you go to Europe, you go to Indonesia, He is with you. He's your Jehovah Shammah, He's your Emmanuel. And finally, He's your Jehovah Nisi. Lord, You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely, goodness and mercy. All right. For Cleo in India, goodness and mercy are the names of her two Australian dogs. For some people, goodness and mercy are two angels. But for all of us, goodness and mercy are the virtues from God, the grace of God that will follow us. Goodness, everything good comes from the Father God, James 1:17. And every day His mercies are new. This is our God. And then He enables us to call on the specific names of God to draw the specific grace that we need. Psalm 68:19, it says, blessed be God, praise be to God. Why? Daily He loads us with benefits. That means every day there are blessings. What's the blessing I'm looking forward to this afternoon? After second service, I'm going for a quick lunch, change. I'm going to drive all the way to Malacca for the pastor summit. What's the blessing I'm looking for? Easy clearance through security, immigration, customs, Johor, Singapore. Smooth ride, arrive in the hotel, have a quick nap before a wonderful dinner tonight with the Love Singapore team. I'm looking for these blessings. Blessings for a great dinner, a smooth ride, and so forth. Every day we are filled with blessings. Daily loads us with blessings. We are familiar with Psalms 103 verse 1 to 5. We sing, bless the Lord, O my soul. What is it specifically that you're blessing the Lord? What is it specifically that you're praising the Lord? Number one, His forgiveness. Thank God that with Him there is forgiveness. Who forgives our sins, who heals, who redeems your life from the pit. That means He protects us always. And as we continue to experience this again and again and again, we form faith convictions. He protects us. He crowns us lavishly with loving kindness and tender mercy. He satisfies our years with good things. Our youth is renewed like the eagles. I don't know about you. I want to be continually renewed in my youth, with my energy, because we know as time goes on, you get tired. Your energy level goes down. All right. How is it renewed? Of course, through vitamins, through supplements, through friends, through diet, through nutrition, all right, through rest and so forth. So, Lord, would you bring all this to my full attention? All right, and tell me which one to take, which one not to take, so that our youth is renewed like the eagles, so that we can run and not be weary. All right, praise means that we specifically call out the specific attributes of each person of the Godhead. For example, the love of Father. Father, you say, Father, I embrace you, Father God. And Father God, would you show me another dimension of your love? So sometimes we beat ourselves. I know we push ourselves right to the edge of the margin. I don't know. I do that sometimes to myself. Okay. And once in a while, He will pull me back. All right. And saying, why? You know, why all that? And then you have a moment. It may be 2 minutes, 3 minutes. All right. He says, it's okay. All right. Let go about this one. Don't have to fight this battle. Just do this. This problem you still can't solve now, leave it alone. He will solve it. The conflict you cannot resolve. All right. Between this ministry, between this leader, this pastor. So many things on the plate. The love of the Father. The love of the Father is very assuring. The light and grace of the Lord. Revelation. Sometimes as you walk through and so forth, what do you do? What do you do? Dang, He downloads a revelation. He gives you an insight. An insight, a revelation, a wisdom. Ah! This is what you have to do. And then the life of the Spirit. The Spirit who raised Jesus from the dead. The same Holy Spirit who gives life to our physical bodies. Okay? Now, the Lord's Supper. Alright? Ushers, can you please distribute the Lord's Supper? Everyone have the bread and the wine. All right, all the ushers, please. Now, we have placed these two sets for the last 2 years. I wanted to change and amend it and add some more, but I feel that we're not ready because less than half of you fully grasp this. And I really want to encourage you, remember all this by heart so that you learn to appropriate the specific grace. Okay? Now, so I'll say two things first. So every aspect of the bread, what did Jesus say? Do this in remembrance of me. For the full message, we're going to go back to the website. But as you partake the bread, what do you do? Lord, I thank you that you died for my salvation. You died to pay the penalty for my sins. You died for my name to be written in the book of life. You died for me to be included in the precious body of Christ. You died to give me the life-giving Holy Spirit. And by your stripes, I am healed. I spell out as six blessings from appropriating the blood. Give thanks to the Lord. And the blood, Lord, I thank you that you shed the blood for the forgiveness of my sins. The blood cleanses me from all sins. Your blood covers my sins. Your blood redeems me for forgiveness. There is life in the blood. It's the blood of the eternal covenant. And finally, the blood is our spiritual weapon to overcome the devil. Okay? So, I want to encourage church, when you receive the bread and wine, don't just say, so, I thank you for dying for me, I thank you for the blood, and amen. No! Do more than that. The Lord is calling for devotion, which I'm going to emphasize at the end of this message. Deeper, more, depth. Okay? As you partake the elements. All elders and all pastors, take your elements. Alright, for those who do not know, every year in January, we rededicate ourselves to God, to serve God. And in the newsletter, today we begin with the elders and the pastors. So with the elders and pastors, take your elements, the bread and the wine, and come to the front and consecrate yourselves to the Lord. Okay? The rest of us, own time, own target. And then we, after a minute, I'll pray for the elders and the pastors. Alright, and then we have our usual offertory and announcements. Okay, church, if I can invite you to stand and just stretch forth your hands to bless the elders and the pastors. And so, Father God, this morning we stand in your holy presence. And Lord, we thank you for every single elder and pastor who have committed their lives to serve you, who have committed their lives to walk closely with you, who have committed their lives to be shepherds over the flock you have entrusted to each of us, individually and collectively. Lord, we commend all our elders and pastors to you and ask this day that you will fill them with the knowledge of your will, that they will always know your will in increasing spiritual understanding, in increasing spiritual wisdom, so that as shepherds over the flock, we will always live our lives worthy of you and worthy of your calling, pleasing you, Lord, in every way. Bearing fruit in every good work and growing in the grace and knowledge of Christ. Lord, we ask especially for the elders and pastors that you will strengthen them with all power by your Spirit in their inner man, so that they will persevere and endure, and as they go through and navigate through obstacles and problems and difficulties, that they will do so with the strength that you provide. We ask that you especially bless them in the coming and going out. We ask that you especially bless them in their marriages with their spouses to grow in their love for you and for each other and for their children and grandchildren. We ask that you especially bless them in their health and in their energies so that they will always have all sufficiency in all things to abound in every good work. So bless them, protect them from the evil one and watch over them, Lord. As we love each of them, commending them to you, giving you thanks and praise in Jesus' name. And everybody says, amen. Please be seated.
Right, church, we're going to be taking the offering, so let's pray first. Father, this morning we thank you for your grace, for your love, for your provision in our lives. For Lord, we know that all these has come because of who you are. It has come because of your abundance poured upon us. It has come because of your love for us. And so, Lord, today as we sit here, as we enjoy who you are, Lord, we want to return to you a portion of what you have blessed us with. So this morning, Lord, would you receive our gifts, our tithes, and our offerings. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's go on to our scripture meditation reading that comes from Psalm 149, verse 6. Let's read the reference, verse, and a reference on the count of three. One, two, three. Psalm 149, verse 6. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth, and a two-edged sword in their hand. Psalm 149, verse 6. Okay, with that, let's prepare our hearts and welcome SP for part two of the sermon.
No, I'm just thinking through the last 2 months, November and December, that a lot of the cell groups, the clusters, the tribes, all the engines are firing. In all the cluster outreaches, in all the mission trips. And that's this Cebu trip alone. You just saw 118 salvations and I can't remember how many rededications. There's a lot of fruit, alright, and which requires a lot of work and follow up and follow through. We're reaching a certain phase in BBTC of maturity, alright, in the cell groups, in the clusters, in the tribes, where all this is almost auto. Very little top driven down. Life, there's life that's happening, alright? All that we talk about. And this coming March, we're having all the leaders together for a leaders retreat. Leaders who have not signed up, a gentle reminder, we're going to have a very exciting time this March, having a management consultant with us, and we're going to go through all the aspects of leadership. That is what it's all about. Everything revolves about leadership. Okay, back to about the praise empowered believer. So we talk about giving thanks and praise for the bread and the cup. We had our offertory announcements. High praise. What is high praise? Alright, just to recap. It is an intense level of praise. It must be intentional and intensive. Like what we try to do in our CBTL, Come Bless the Lord, and 2-hour extended time of thanksgiving, praise and worship. A song sung in the heavenlies by angels, as and as we do so, the angels join us. By creatures, by saints around the throne of God. Halal, as we say, is to celebrate extravagantly, with which we get the word hallelujah. Hallelujah, praise is halal to Yah, our God, alright, Yahweh. Where we express joy, jubilation and celebration. In our worship services, it is always celebration. Is there a time for solitude? Yes. But it's not in our worship services. Okay? Is there a time for quiet reflection? Yes. But it's not during our worship services. It's sometime else. So there's a time for every season, for everything. Alright? So that we don't get into this whole debate. So our worship services is when everybody comes together and we celebrate God. We enter His gates with thanksgiving, His courts with praise, and we give ourselves in total surrender in worship. Next, when we face rejection, when we are heavily burdened, and we feel we are at the bottom of our lives, one way out is to begin to praise the Lord. In the Bible, there's a person called Leah in Genesis 29:35, and Leah was a lady who was rejected by her husband. She tried all she could to win the love of the husband, to win the acceptance of the husband. And even after having sex with him, after having giving birth to 3 children, all right, she was looking to the husband for acceptance. She was looking to the husband for approval. She was looking for the husband to embrace her and to love her. But the husband loved the other wife, Rachel. Until she came to this revelation, she says, by the time she bore the 4th child, she said, now I will praise the Lord. Now she began to shift her attention to Yahweh, to God. And she named the 4th child Judah. Judah means praise. This is in Genesis. And if you study Numbers, Leviticus, and Deuteronomy, many a times when Israel go into battle, the Israelites will ask the Lord, the Levites will ask the Lord, Lord, who shall go first? You know the tribes, they are in the cross formation. 3 tribes to the north, 3 tribes to the east, 3 tribes to the west, and 3 tribes to the south. They say, Lord, who shall go first? The Lord always say, Judah. Always the tribe of Judah. Praise. Praise will lead Israel into battle. And praise has always got to do with battle. And for many of us, yesterday at the Saturday service, after the service, I got one guy who just shared with me, he just got retrenched. Towards the end of December, just 1 week ago, he was asked, well, this is the package. Thank you very much. The outlook is for 2017 is not so good. You got to go. And there was another guy, I was more concerned. He wasn't having a job for the last few months. And when he came to me for prayer, I said, before you tell me your problem and want me to pray, have you got a job? Oh, thank God. He said, I've been working for the last 2 months. I said, phew. Alright. Early 30s. All kinds of burdens in life. And let's settle this. As we live in a fallen world, John 16:33, in the world there will be problems. In the world there will be trials. We live in a world that is fallen, with people who are fallen, who will rub us the wrong way, who will hurt us, who will disappoint us. And I was just talking to one leader yesterday and today. Marital unfaithfulness. And I'm not even talking about non-Christian, I'm talking about Christians. Where blatantly the man or the woman will flirt emotionally, commit emotional adultery first, before the physical adultery, and they don't even blink an eye. And then the injured party will come. What will the church do? How can you help? And this just goes on. So there is rejection. There are burdens of life. Some of us are struggling financially. Some just turned, I know one just turned 55 and collected CPF and just calculating what he has. 55 now, probably live up to about 90, let's say, all right, given the age of the parents. 55, 65, 75, 85, another 35 years. You calculate now, you're going to worry till the cows come home. Not enough. Spend about 3,000-4,000 a month, you calculate 3 to 4 times 12 times the number of years. You're not going to have enough. Stress, anxieties, and fears is going to rob us. And that's where the devil will add sugar, pepper, and spice to steal, kill, and destroy our lives. A significant percentage of sickness and disease, all right, according to all the empirical studies, we just had a conference in November, sanctification because of healing in the heart. 65 to 85% of sickness, disease are due to stress, anxieties, and fears. And this is an area for believers. We have a higher probability, we have a higher chance of overcoming. Because we have God. We got the Word of God and the promises of God. Rejection. Being heavily burdened. At the bottom of our lives. I know of three men. I mean, in the last 20 years in this church, I know of one brother close to some of us. He's been out of a job for a whole year before he finally got a job. And so some of us will face. Some of us are already facing tough times. In terms of finances, in terms of job, in terms of relationships, in terms of things that don't go on well. One way out. Of course, we need the wisdom of God and to work on all the other things. One way out is to begin to praise the Lord. Acts 16, 25, 26. At about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns of praise to God. And the prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was a great earthquake. We know the story. So powerful that the very foundations of the prison were shaken, and at once all the doors were opened and everyone's chains were unfastened. None of us here are prisoners. I mean, if you're a prisoner, you cannot be out here, you'll be in prison. But many of us here are prisoners. We are under bondage of unhealed hurts, unmet needs, unresolved issues. Some of us are in bondage of fears, tremendous fears. You fear for your children. You fear for your health. This talk about asking for medical checkup, question often posed, oh, have you gone for your scope? You're already 63 years old. Have you scoped here? Have you scoped there? I spent about 16 or 18 years. Every year we'll go for medical checkup. Anyway, to cut the long story short. So what is driving you for the medical checkup? Fear. Oh, just in case you get the polyp. Just in case. You can just in case here, there, you don't have to live your life already. Where do you put your trust? We need to live wisely. We need to eat nutritionally. We need to have enough sleep and rest. All that, alright, do all that, and then the rest is in the Lord. It is not in that diet. Whether it's a vegetarian diet or Mediterranean diet, it is not in that exercise. At the end of the day, where is our confidence? If our confidence is 100% only in the diet, if our confidence is only 100% in that exercise, then that will become an idol. It must be in the Lord. We need to do all those things, but ultimately trusting the Lord. Our life, our times are in His hands. We need to live wisely, but trusting the Lord. And here you find Paul and Silas as we apply this to ourselves. For some of us, we are chained. We are in prison. To habits, to ungodly beliefs. Just yesterday at a wedding here, there's one guy from another church, he just unloading, and to cut the long story short, about the toxic environment, he's a church worker. The toxic environment in his local church. And I just can't believe my ears of elders and pastors and ministry workers. It's so toxic. You talk about toxic environment in the secular place, you can understand. It's toxic. He's in full-time ministry. The wife is in full-time ministry. I guess he was just unloading. I just had to give him a year as I eat my satay and my whatever at the wedding. In prison. And this is sad. And one way out is the Lord must give us self-awareness. We must have self-awareness. Now, in this church, we do the RTF ministry, and this year we'll do it again, and it's every quarter, once every quarter. So this year we'll do it four times. The announcement, I think, is in the newsletter. The first one will come up sometime in February for the first Saturday teaching, followed by 3 weeks later, the ministry. I want to encourage you. There are people outside the church who want to come in. We say, generally, no, this is primarily for BPTC. And what's a BPTC? You would have at least attended five services or be connected to a cell group. Avail yourself. Fine-tune our life. Deal with some of the issues that is bothering you. Deal with some of the issues that is on your heart. Deal with some of the issues that is lingering and like a cloud, like a chain, like a prison, so that you can walk free. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. The truth is the Lord Jesus Christ. John 8:32. The other one is 2 Corinthians 3:17. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. So you want the life of the Holy Spirit to set us free from all these encumbrances. All this is Hebrews 12:1. We run the race. We have to fulfill our destiny. And we want to run well. Get rid of the baggage. Get rid of the weight. Get rid of the cloud that weighs us down. And these are chains. These are doors. These are the prisons some of us are in. I want to encourage you to do that. Habakkuk 3:17-19. The prophet can say, though the fig tree may not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, and though the labor of the olive may fail. I mean, the fig tree is supposed to produce fig fruits. The olive tree is supposed to produce olives. And the fields yield no food. Though the flock may be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls, the prophet says, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. Now, I admit first, this is not easy. When you are down and out, it is not easy. I mean, when the guy come and tell me he just got retrenched, I mean, it was almost tears in his eyes. First time in his life, in his 40s. And look at his wife, his homemaker, 3 children. All right, you can imagine the pressures that's coming on him to provide for the family, to care for the family. Will he get a job? All right, the pressures is very, very high. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. And the last phrase is very good. It's a prayer. I pray constantly. Lord, you are my strength. Make my feet like deer's feet. And help me to walk on my high heels. High heels, that means the mountain slopes, not H-E-E-L-S. Huh? That means even on the slopes that are steep, your footing is steady. Your footing in the Lord is sure. God will hold you. He will hold you by your hand, and He will guide you each step of the way. He will instruct you. He will teach you. He will guide you step by step. The Word of God is a lamp to our feet, a light to our path. One way out of all this, which is why I've said again and again, I mean, it sounds flippant, but this is all the scriptures that we've just given you here. That the solution to every problem, every conflict, every difficulty is in the Lord. And as somebody has shared, it's like Matthew 6:33. 6 verse is kingdom, His righteousness, and all these things in life will be added unto us. Hannah, she was barren. She was mocked by the other spouse of her husband. And what did she do? She says, and after the Lord gave her the child Samuel, and she prayed this prayer, she praised the Lord, and Hannah prayed and said, my heart rejoices in the Lord, my horn, my strength is exalted in the Lord, I will smile at my enemies because I rejoice in your salvation. For years, Hannah, she went to the temple every year, and then she would just travail before the Lord, pour her heart out before the Lord, until the high priest almost said, you woman, are you drunk? Alright, he started scolding her. No, sir. I'm not drunk. I'm just pouring my soul to the Lord. And what is your problem? I'm barren. And then Eli, the priest, would pray over her and bless her. The high priest prayed over her. And the following year, she conceived. And same thing with Mary. Pregnant when she is not married. And imagine all that went through her mind. And yes, you say, I rejoice in God my Savior, for He has regarded the lowly state of His maidservant. For behold, henceforth, all generations will call me blessed. And thank God she had a righteous fiancé in Joseph, all right, who was with her all the way through this journey. Not easy. When you face pressures, when you face a social stigma, or what people will say and do and so forth, when we face rejection, when you're heavily burdened, when you're at the bottom, begin to praise the Lord. And this is where, in this church, we talk about spiritual songs. Sometimes we do not know how to pray. There's a missionary in China. She said, I sing the doxology and dismiss the devil. John Piper says, God has appointed the use of spiritual songs as an effective weapon against the enemy. And I want to suggest, as we bring our burdens and yokes to God, sing spiritual songs. What are spiritual songs? The two scriptures are here, Ephesians 5:19 and Colossians 3:16. We sing psalms. Psalms are praise songs. How great is our God is a praise song. Hymns. What are hymns? Hymns are testimony songs. Amazing Grace is a hymn. Then sings my soul, how great thou art. That is a hymn, a testimony song. But spiritual songs are songs from our spirit to God. Spiritual songs are not premeditated. They are not rehearsed. They just come spontaneously from your spirit to the spirit of God, from the deep in you to the deep in God. You just sing. And this is for many of us here who can pray in prayer, personal prayer tongues. Alright? You know, the prophetic tongue needs interpretation. We have our personal prayer tongues to edify ourselves. And I dare say that for all of us, our personal prayer tongues, you have your limited syllables, the permutations and combinations of that. Now what happens is, depending on the agenda, the Holy Spirit will take that and align it with the will of the Father. Let's say you are burdened for a wayward son or a wayward husband. You pray in English and in Cantonese, all that you can pray. And then you pray in the tongue, Suki Mianda Lakasha Wahi Rahala Masha. What happens then is, the Holy Spirit takes your English, your Cantonese and the tongue and align it with the will of the Father. The Father hears it and answers your prayer. Scripture, Romans 8:26-27. The same syllables is used in giving praise, high praise, thanksgiving and praise to God. As you sing, how great is our God, or whatever song we're going to sing, songs in the night. All right. For those of you with personal prayer tongues, you sing it in English, you sing the lyrics of the song, and then you can rhyme and flow with your tongues. Bashiko, 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 bashik. All right. Now, remember, tongues doesn't make sense, intelligible sense, to the prayer. Alright? Because you cannot understand it. Because it is a tongue. It's a tongue of language, or of men, or of angels. But you do it, and what is the purpose? You edify yourself. 1 Corinthians 14:3. You edify yourself. That's why I want to encourage you, don't let it be dormant. Stir that gift. Alright? For those of us who are more melodious, we have a sense of music. Flow with the rhythm. It's a chord progression as you go into spiritual songs. Okay? So add in your words and phrases. And this is where the worship leader, the singers, the musicians, everybody, and as a church, to be a praise-empowered church. I want to suggest to you, things happen. I got different people coming to me during worship, during the word. This happened to me. You receive this revelation. You receive this insight. You were healed. This, that, and the other. This is true whether it is in Togo in Africa, or Zimbabwe, or Romania, or India, or China, or Surabaya. Same God, same Holy Spirit, same word. Alright? So, it's all about connecting with God, consecrating to God, giving our hearts to God. Okay? We have a song in the night. Come, let's all rise.
I'll wait here.
So when I am in the sea.
one very important thing. Don't be distracted by your neighbor. Don't compare. Comparison is the devil's name. Those of you who are not melodious, just pray. Lord, I bring my burdens to you. I bring my song here tonight. You know, this relationship with my spouse has been so bad for so long. Or this relationship with my boss or my colleague. Oh Lord, this difficulty, this frustration, just bring it to the Lord. And keep on pressing in, because at some point, you will have a breakthrough. You pray for breakthroughs. And when we do this corporately, there is a corporate anointing. There is a corporate anointing. The corporate anointing is Matthew 16, Matthew 18, where two or three agree on earth here in BBTC, in this sanctuary. Whatever you bind is bound. Whatever you lose is loose. It's done. This is why we're doing it corporately together. So don't just stand there and stare and observe. Alright, some of you are learning, it's fine. But to talk, you can pray, you can sigh, you can moan, you can groan. This is your spiritual song. Remember, the principle is spiritual songs. How you express it is different one from the other. So it doesn't matter. What matters is you and God. God knows, God understands, and God hears. Amen. Please be seated. And let me just move on to this next segment. And as we grasp that, and in the subsequent weekends, we really pray for our worship to be anointed to move one notch or more in the coming weeks and months this year. We say the high praise is intense. It is intense. That's why when we do it corporately, there's a lot of noise. It's intense. It's intentional. All right? High praises open doors for God to battle for us. And in Israel, in Isaiah 30:32, and in every place where the staff of punishment passes, which the Lord lays on him, he will be with tambourines and harps in battles of brandishing. He will fight with it. In the Amplified Version, it's with tambourines and harps. When you have a tambourine, a lot of noise. I always said praise is always associated with warfare. Of course, we're not talking about physical war, physical fight, because we do not fight the way the world fights. It's warfare over the areas of our lives and the areas of our lives of our loved ones and the people we are interceding and for Singapore. You open doors for God to battle for us. Do you have a specific example? Yes, Jehoshaphat. In 2 Chronicles 20, he was surrounded with enemies all around. He was overwhelmed. The enemies of Ammon, Moab, Mount Seir. And King Jehoshaphat was desperate. What is the first thing he do? He went on his knees and his hand prostrated before God. He decided to turn to God. What is the second thing he do? He went to the Word of God. You remember in Chronicles, when Solomon dedicated the temple, and one of the promises is, Lord, if our enemies come against us, and we come to your temple where you place your name. Now, in the Old Covenant, God placed his name only in the temple, a specific place. But in the New Covenant, John 4, we worship God in spirit and in truth, anywhere and everywhere, because we have the Holy Spirit. But in the Old Covenant, he says, Lord, upon the covenant you made with Solomon, where you place your name in this temple, we cry out to you when our enemies come at us. What shall we do, Lord? Will you fight for us? The Lord says yes. The Lord sent his prophet. And we read here. Now everybody read on the count of three. One, two, three. And when? Who did he place at the front of the entire army? The worship team. The Levites. He appointed those who can sing to the Lord and who can praise the beauty of holiness. We ascribe to the Lord worship in the beauty of his holiness. What is holiness? God is set apart. God is not man that he should lie. God is set apart high. High above any and everything else. That is the meaning of holiness. He's the high and the lofty one. We need a revelation of that. And when we have a revelation of the high and lofty God, our battles belong to the Lord. The Lord will fight for us. We all have enemies. Jesus says, love your enemies, but we don't fight the way the world fights. And the way we need to do your enemies is name your enemies before God. Tell God who they are by name. What is an enemy? An enemy doesn't seek your good welfare. An enemy seeks harm. In the workplace, alright, he wants to sabo you. In business, he's a competitor who wants to undermine you or whatever. That means basically do anything to undermine you, harm you, or do you no good. It may be a colleague, it may be a fellow worker. For that occasion, for that situation, is an enemy. Name them before God and pray for them, bless them. Don't fight a tooth for a tooth and eye for an eye. That's the old way. The new way is to bless them. Alright? High praises on the lips of our children. In Psalms 8 verse 2, it says God has ordained praise on the lips of children. The praise of children and infants will establish a stronghold against our enemies to silence the foe and the avenger. I want to suggest to us as we start this year, every family, rebuild and strengthen your family altar. I'm so glad, towards the last few days of December, my wife pushed me. And literally, I laid hands on my two sons and my two daughters-in-law and prophesied over them and prayed very specific things over them to start the new year. This is number 6, 20, 24 to 26. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord bless you and lift up His countenance and give you His peace. The Lord lift up His countenance and give you favor. Fathers and mothers, you are in a position of authority to bless your children and your grandchildren. Pray specifically for the character traits, you know, that are misbehaving and so forth. Pray and nullify them. And pray that the good character traits will come. They will have good influence and so forth. Pray very specifically. Pray for our children and strengthen our children, family altar. So other than pray, what's the other way? Testimony. What is testimony? And you look at the history of Israel. Alright? By the way, this book has been given out to everybody at our 30th church anniversary. Look and read the testimonies. How people overcame barrenness, difficulties, sickness, disease. In Judges 2 verse 7, the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua, all the days of elders who outlived Joshua, who had seen with their eyes the great works of the Lord, which He had done for Israel. But after a couple of generations, when their generation has been gathered to their fathers, another generation arose who did not know the Lord, nor the work which He had done. We thank God at Watch Night, we recall the testimony, how BBDC came about. How we were birthed out from Bethesda Katong. Psalms 145 verse 4 to 11 is about testimony. Everybody read. One, two, read. One generation. I've highlighted works, acts, awesome acts, mighty works. And this is where in our blood family, over a meal, and in our church family, in our cell groups, in our classes, in our church. Last night I was with the Hallelujah Tribe, celebrating and honoring a cell overseer, Gordon Goh, all right, who is going to step down by the end of February and handing over to Simon Singh, all right, and how all the leaders honored him, and they talk about the works. The first cell group, Dulos 1, in 1992 or 1991. And now we multiply all the way to Dulos 8 into another tribe. Talk about the works. The works of God. People are healed. People are saved. Families are saved. Couples marriage. One couple who are leaders, they shared openly their marriage. They were heading for the rocks, almost divorced. And today they are restored and both fervently serving the Lord. Talk about the works. In our blood family and in our church family. Psalm 78 verse 5, same thing. He shall establish a testimony in Jacob. He has appointed a law in Israel. He commanded our fathers that we should make them known. It's a command. Make them known to our children, that the generation to come might know them, the children who will be born, children not yet born, that they may arise and declare them to their children. Verse 7, that they may set their hope in God and not forget the works of God and keep His commandments. We don't want to be like the children of Ephraim. Verse 9, the children of Ephraim being armed and carrying bows turned back in the day of battle. Why? They did not keep the covenant of God. They refused to walk in His law and forgot His works and His wonders that He has shown them. Why? Fear. Fear gripped the tribe of Ephraim in the day of battle. And they turned back in the day of battle. They forgot the works of the Lord. Tie this back to what I talked about Thanksgiving earlier on. We give thanks for what He has done. Go back and retrace the last significant thing God has done for you, God has given to you. Which is why in BBTC we repeat and we must know our history. This building itself. Three obstacles from the government, from the authorities, all three cleared. From the height to the development charge to the gross floor area and so forth. How $720,000 given back to us from the government. Testimony, prayers, testimony. That's how we build our altar. Let's praise the name of the Lord. Let's exalt the name of the Lord. Let's bring our heart praises to God. Let's stand. Testimony. Our great God. One name above all.
In the church.
Question is asked, how to be a praise-empowered believer? Then we can become a praise-empowered church. And just a few days ago, this verse hit me. Where God told Jeremiah, who went to the people of Israel, he said, go and proclaim in the ears of Israel, saying, thus says the Lord, I remember, and God says, I earnestly remember your devotion, the loving kindness and the devotion of your youth, your time of betrothal, like that of a bride during the early years in Egypt, when you followed me in the wilderness. We know from scriptures that God remembers no more our sins that are under the blood. 1 John 1:9, when we confess our sins, when the sins are cleansed and are covered, God remembers no more. But here in this verse, God tells us that He remembers our devotion to Him. I earnestly remember the devotion of your youth when you followed me in the wilderness. The wilderness means it's a dry period. So for some of us, during the time when we were down and out, we cried out to God, we drew nearer to God. God was so real to us. He answered our prayer. He saw us through, whether it's 3 months, 9 months, 2 years. We were so devoted to the Lord. But in the last 1 year or so, we've gone cold. In the last 1 year or so, we have been on a maintenance mode. Yeah, you still read the Bible. Yeah, you still come to church for worship. Yeah, you still attend cell group, but you have lost the fire. Paul said this in 2 Corinthians 11:3. I'm afraid just as Eve was deceived by the serpent's cunning, your minds may somehow be led astray from your sincere and pure devotion to God. That previously there was a time you were all out for the Lord. It was a privilege to serve God and you pay to serve God. In fact, I don't have time. In Jeremiah, in the subsequent verse, God says, what has caused you to lose your devotion? What did I do? And we mentioned early on two things, unbelief, offenses. You were stumbled by a man of God. You were stumbled by a pastor. You were stumbled by an elder. You were stumbled by a cell leader. You were disappointed with your boss. You faced a failure. And you lump it all together. And from that point onwards, you have lost your devotion to God. From that point onwards, you lost that fire. You see, we talk up to here about rejection, we talk about leer, disappointments, being retrenched and so forth. This year, how to be a priest and power church, we must move from being a struggling, surviving Christian. That means all the time struggling, surviving. I mean, there is a place for that and God is good, yes. But we must move on to be a vibrant, victorious Christian. We must grow spiritually. Romans 12:11 says, don't lose your spiritual fire. Don't lose your spiritual fervency. And when we maintain and stir up the fire in us, we will always be praised and empowered. We will always be vibrant and victorious. Revelation 3:15 and 16 is a warning to the church in Laodicea. It says, you're neither cold nor hot, but you're lukewarm. Lukewarm means you still come to church. Lukewarm means you still attend cell groups. You still try to read some semblance of your quiet time and your prayers. But you have lost. Or rather, your fire has been significantly diminished. In the past, your fire was 100%. Now it's down to 20%, 10%. This is actually the whole message. This is actually the essence of this whole message, to be a praise-empowered church. And it's evidence not in just your time alone with God. No. It's evidence in how you live in the body of Christ and in the local church, in BBDC, and in the kingdom of God. I want to say a couple of things to qualify. Number one, no condemnation. We are not here to condemn anybody. Number two, there's no piling of guilt. Alright, they will contradict all they've been talking about from this pulpit and from the Word of God. Whenever the Holy Spirit speaks, He's drawing us back to the Father. Whenever the Holy Spirit convicts, He's drawing us back to God. Whenever the devil condemns, he wants to alienate us further and further away from God. And just as in yesterday's Saturday service, a few people that I know, still in the church, still serving here and there, but they know, I know, they know, they have lost the fire. They lost a significant percentage of the fire. Will you respond to the Spirit's prompting? It's not about your neighbor or your spouse, it's you and the Lord. So let's stand as we worship the Lord with these two songs. These two songs are carefully selected. It's your song to the Lord. When the music fades, when everything has gone, it's all about Jesus and your devotion to Jesus. Don't lose the simplicity of your devotion to the Lord.
When the music fades and all is stripped away, and I simply come, longing just to breathe. I'll bring you more than a song.
Lord says we are deeply loved, that we are His precious sons and daughters. The Lord says as we give our hearts to Him, as we return to Him, as we draw near to Him, He has already drawn near to us. The Lord will bless us as we walk close with Him this year. The Lord will give us His wisdom. He will give us the strength to navigate through the difficulties and the obstacles in our lives. The Lord will protect us in our coming in and going out. The Lord will watch over all our ways as we acknowledge Him every moment of our lives. So as we leave this place, the Lord bless us and keep us. The Lord lift up His countenance towards us and gives us His peace. The Father showers us and embraces each of us continually with His precious love. The grace and the revelation and the truth of the living Word of God will always be our instruction, teaching and guide. And the fellowship of the Holy Spirit will be our continuous connect and communion now and forevermore. So Lord, even as we have received Your Word and Your grace and Your mercy, as we leave this place, we thank You that You're always with us to guide, to lead, to be vibrant, to be victorious, to be so blessed, to be a blessing to others. And so Lord, we give You thanks and praise for this time in Jesus' name. And everybody says, amen. Give me praise. Yes.